Each episode of the Lion Goat podcast is completely improvised. Expect comedy. Do not expect consistency or sense to be made. This is random nonsense for your amusement. I am Podbot. I was inspired by the excellent podcast, Improv for Humans, with Matt Besser. Listen to his show. Warning, the following podcast contains explicit material intended for emotionally immature adults. Trigger warnings for this episode include discussion about adult themes, violence, profanity, murder, sexually explicit behavior, political incorrectness, animal, emotional, mental, physical, sexual, and substance abuse. You should not listen to this. It might rot your brain. Listen to a better podcast. Seriously, stop. Stop. Don't continue. Okay, have it your way. I warned you. Today's episode includes a discussion between our Australian sister show hosts, Austin and Russ, about the power of suggestion in modern media, commercials for Chesterfield cigarettes, Spam, and Gem Blades, and the detrimental effects of advertisements on the human psyche.
Then welcome back to the Aussie Boys podcast. This is one of your hosts, Austin. I'm here with the other host of the podcast, Russ. Welcome to the podcast. How you doing today, Russ?
I'm all right, Austin. How you doing today? It's a fine, fabulous day down here. Under the sunshine and the shrimp and the barbies. I'm doing good. Did I tell you that I've started a roo farm? I've got me a few roos now.
Well, you were telling me the last time we talked that you had a couple of new baby roos, and so I figured
right. Your
roo farm was growing by the numbers, day by day. I mean, it seems like we've mentioned at least five other roos on the podcast. Have you got enough roomobiles to carry them all these days, mate?
Well, you know what? I've had to upgrade my roomobile. I just got me a rocket engine for me roomobile.
A rocket engine?
Yeah, it's super fast, mate.
What are you talking on the roomobile?
I'll give Batman a run for his money, mate.
I mean, it sounds like that could be dangerous. Don't you think you might need to reconsider that, mate?
No, it's safe. It's safe. It's welded in proper.
Who's been testing it out for you?
Me and Marvin the marsupial. Me and the roo Marvin. We've been driving around the outback today trying it out.
No kidding.
So everything's dusty and I'm a bit deaf. Because the thing is loud.
Well, I can understand that it's loud. I mean, how do you make sure that the roo... Wait, what's that noise? Is that it?
Yeah, that's...
Did the roo turn it on, mate?
Yeah, the roo, he likes going fast.
Is he driving by himself, mate? You gotta stop the roo, mate.
No, he'll be fine. He's learning to drive. He's got his permit.
He's got his permit?
Yeah.
What do you mean he's got his permit?
He's got his rocket driver's permit.
I can barely hear you, mate. I can't hear what you're saying. Can you go get control of it, mate?
No, I don't need to. He's got it. Look at him go, mate. Look at him doing a figure eight.
Whoa, man.
He's an excellent driver. Now he's done far out of sight. That's how fast that room up
is. He's already got out of hearing distance. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that was fast, mate.
He's probably clear on the other side of Sydney by now, eh? I've got a rocket roo car now. And it's super fast. And Marvin, he likes to ride in it. He does. Apparently, as you can see, he stole it. And we may never see him or the roomobile again.
Well, I hope he comes back, mate. Maybe he came to visit me. He sure could have got to me faster when I was stuck down in that well if he had had your rocket car. I mean, how fast does the thing go?
It's about 374 miles an hour.
Wow.
It's pretty quick.
Wow.
I mean, that's not even top speed. That's as fast as I'll let him go. You know, he just got his license, you see.
Well, it would have only taken about 2 hours for him to get to me while I was down in that well then.
Well, hindsight's 20/20. If I had a rocket engine then, it wouldn't have taken that long for him to hop over there to you. We didn't have that at the time. Just be grateful I sent him to rescue it when we did, or you'd still be at the bottom of the well.
Oh, no, I'm plenty grateful, mate. Do I not sound grateful? I'm extremely grateful.
Oh, yeah, I figured you would be, because you know where you were? At the bottom of a well, wet and cold and lonely.
I'm sorry, mate. I've got to take a quick break here. I just realized I've got some technical difficulties here, mate. I was so excited about the jet engine.
All right. Always something with that Australian mate of mine, Austin. He's a good podcast brother to have on. He's an excellent assistant host and I'm his assistant host. We share the duties equally around here. I just have more gadgetry, as you can see. I'm getting a thumbs up. Is that all good there? Are you worked it out over there, Austin? Are you straight now?
I did. I'm so sorry about that, mate. I just got so excited about the jet engine that I forgot that I needed to record you as well on my side.
Oh, well.
I was just recording myself twice on two different tracks, mate. That would never gonna work out if I only had a recording of myself twice.
No, that's wrong. That's not how you do it.
No, we're supposed to have at least...
Did you forget what you learned in your master class?
No, mate. If it wasn't for that master class, I never would have noticed that I needed to make sure that I was recording as well. I'm sort of noticing on your screen that you're recording me and I'm recording you and we need to record each other so we have that backup. And if I didn't have that backup, you never know what would have happened.
I am recording you and you are now recording me, so we're properly backed up. Is that how the expression goes?
I think we're good. Yeah, I think perfectly backed up or backed up perfectly. I'm not sure what the phrase is, but I'll just say whatever.
It's not constipated, is it? We're not constipated up. It's not that kind of backed up, is it?
No, mate, I think that's got something to do with your bowels. Isn't that got something to do with your bowels?
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with podcasting, do you?
No, mate, I don't think constipation and recording go together. I could be confused, but they didn't mention that in my master class at all. They mentioned that in that master class that you took? Constipation?
No.
No, mate.
Nothing about constipation.
No, not at all. I don't think so.
Cooperation, but nothing about constipation.
Cooperation. That must have been what you were thinking of, mate.
Maybe.
Cooperation. I think that's what it was. Cooperation and not constipation. One must cooperate with whoever you're recording with. You need to make sure that they're on the same track with you and that you're recording on two different tracks.
Right.
You got to make sure that you're recording on two different tracks.
Yeah.
But you want one recording of yourself, one recording of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I can't remember how constipation would have fallen in there.
I don't.
Not at all.
I don't think you would have fit at all.
Good.
See, I've got two tracks. It's right here. This is Russ's mic. And Austin's mic, right there.
Right.
See, when you talk this, yeah, see, right there. Talk a little bit.
Right. When I talk, it looks like a bricky. Yeah, several little brickies are falling on the track there while I'm talking. And I see same thing on my side, one track for myself and one track for Macabre. And Macabre, in this case, is you, Russ. You're Macabre.
All right. I'm a Macabre?
No, a Cabra.
What's a Macabre? That sounds like a Chupacabra?
No. The Chupacabra, that's a cryptozoology.
Yeah.
That's a crypto animal. I don't know what you call a single instance of a crypto animal. Or, you know, do you say animal? Or is it cryptozoolite? Cryptozoophyte? Crypto...
I don't know, Austin. Those are very confusing sounding words.
What's an example of
cryptologist? Isn't that someone who mines the cryptocurrencies?
No. Cryptozoologist is the person that likes the study of unknown or hidden animal species, like the Yeti or the Bigfoot, or what was the one the Chupacabra? Is that the one you mentioned?
Chupacabra. I don't have one or anything over here. I feel like they'd eat all me roos on me roof home, so we're keeping the Chupacabras away today.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm not sure that Chupacabra is a well-known Australian cryptozoological species. I think that's more in the South American continent, don't you think?
I think so, too, but you never be too careful when you've got a farm full of roos like I've got.
That's true. Cryptid. That's the word I was searching for. Yes, the cryptid.
Be careful with that word throwing that around. Nobody can cryptid walk over here, and we don't want any blood shooting at us, you know.
What's cryptid walk? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the gang, the Bloods and the Cryptids. Isn't that right?
No, mate. You're talking about the blokes that wear the blue bandanas?
If you give something to a cryptid, he cryptid walks on it? Isn't that what it's supposed to be?
No. That's the Crypts, like Tales from the Crypt, if you remember that great old show from HBO back in the day.
I do remember that old show, that Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, I like the way he would cackle. That would give me the huts.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, just give me the goosebumps when that guy would Keckle. But no, I think you're thinking of maybe the Bloods and the Crips, the gangs in L.A. and in New York, in the United States. I'm not even sure we have those gangs here in Australia.
So they're not cryptids?
No.
They're not the cryptids versus the Bloods?
The cryptids are like the Hawkesbury River Monster, like the New South Wales Hawkesbury River Monster.
Okay.
Have you heard of that guy?
No, I haven't heard of that guy.
Yeah.
Would the Loch Ness Monster be one of those cryptids?
Yes, Loch Ness. Yes, that's an...
Okay.
But the Hawkesbury River Monster, it's a bit like Loch Ness. It's a mooleywonk, a plesiosaur-like monster. It had been previously depicted in Indigenous Australian art. You know, the Maoris, maybe, had drawings of this fella.
How did they?
But unlike Nessie, the Hawkesbury River Monster, his sightings are much rarer. And there's not many photographs.
No, not really. I can imagine it. Like Nessie, I've got Nessie's autograph. I mean, I say autograph, but it's really a footprint. Because, you know, a Loch Ness Monster can't hold a pen and write its own name.
Are you talking about Nelly, that concert you went to back before he was cancelled, man?
Yo, what up? It's your man Nelly. Yeah.
You got his autograph.
I got...
He wasn't like a giant squid or anything, was he?
How do I know you my daughter?
You know, I think the only other one I know about is Queensland Hook Island Sea Monster.
Ooh, tell us about that one.
Well, you know, it was like a giant tadpole-like thing. It was a local legend there in Queensland. Their convincing photograph was taken by a guy named Robert Le Sirec.
Oh, yeah.
Well, as the story goes, Sirec was out fishing in the Stonehaven Bay when his wife noticed a strange dark shape in the water.
Whoa.
It was said to be at least 20 meters long.
20 meters?
And completely horrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd seen this photo, it's completely horrible.
I'd have probably pissed my pants if I'd seen that thing.
But Sirec ventured out, and he snapped a pic, and presumably... He poked it with a stick.
Poked it with a stick in the eye? Or did it just in the facial region?
I don't know if he got it in the eye, but when he got close, the thing moved and tried to eat him and his companion.
Oh, no. Did he survive with all his limbs?
Well, I believe he did survive because this is all from an account that he gave to Australians Everyone magazine. So, you know, he was a professional photographer, and he was just trying to capture this thing, gigantic creatures like the giant squid. But
you don't need no man. You got daddy.
Big time.
I can't believe that.
Well, I guess it's about time for a commercial break.
Apparently. What kind of commercial we got today, Austin?
I forgot to set them up, so I'm trying to get them out here. Could you vamp for just a second here, Russ, while I pull up the commercials?
I've been vamping the whole time. I mean, I feel like I'm carrying this particular episode with all the off and on the microphone today. You got the diarrheas over there?
Now, you've said that before, and I've taken insult from it. I believe I'm doing my part. We didn't even do all the how you bins and all that stuff, so it's probably...
I think we did do that. We started with it. Well, I mean, you know, I just got here because I was on the other side of the outback with Marvin in the rocket roo car.
No, you're right. We did do that. I asked you how you were, and you told me about your jet engine. And, of course, as usual, you forgot to ask how I am.
I'm sorry, Austin. You know. I mean, I was so excited about my jet engine.
It's all right.
And I'm a little concerned now that Marvin hadn't brought it back yet.
Has he not come back yet?
But anyway, we'll talk to you instead about my... lost kangaroo. How are you doing, Austin?
I bet he'll be back before the end of the show.
Well, that's how we do it over here in the down under.
But I'm doing okay. Thanks for remembering to ask without being prompted. It's always so kind when your friends think about you and just ask how you're doing. And
I think about you all the time, Austin, especially earlier today. Me and Marvin, we were zooming around the outback in a rocket roomobile. I think he's going to take up superheroing.
No kidding.
Marvin, the crime-fighting kangaroo, I think he's got him a little mask and a little cape.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he's excited about it. He's got some kangaroo nunchucks. He's very proficient with. I was surprised. I didn't know he had been practicing, but apparently he's put in the time and the effort to get really good at the nunchucks. and I think he's going to be a great kung fu crime fighting kangaroo.
I can't wait to see the pictures of him in his new costume with the mask and the cape and the nunchucks. I think that's going to be great.
Now we will take a break for some advertisements. Please support our sponsors. Just imagine this could be your advertisement. Please reach us at liongoatpodcast@gmail.com to provide sponsorship. And now, back to the show.
I'm not sure nunchucks are the best weapon for a kangaroo.
Well, he likes them.
Can he operate them with his big legs in the back? Can he kick them out in front of him and swing them around like Bruce Lee?
He's learning, you know. Oh. He's learning all kinds of nunchuck tricks. He's got one thing where he whips them around his tail. Hands free, they just spin around his tail and chain, swoobity swoobity around. He knocks down the villains with that. He's got a really strong right hook and a left kick. He's very dangerous. I wouldn't want to fight.
No, I wouldn't want to fight a kangaroo just normally, but especially one that's got a cape and nunchucks.
No, especially not one on a mission to fight crime. He's fearless.
It must have been all that training that you had him do for the long jump contest that you were telling us about last time.
Right.
And I'm so proud of him. He got first place in the jumping contest. Maybe we should add nunchuckery as a special contest for the next annual kangaroo jumping contest.
Maybe we should get some more events for the other roos to participate in.
Go full out with mixed martial arts, maybe.
What now?
Mixed martial arts. We could have just a whole mixed martial arts competition for the roos. Just see which ones know jujitsu and which ones know karate and which ones know taekwondo and all the different types of martial arts. Is he learning all sorts?
You know what? He's all over the map with those martial arts. He hasn't done jitsu yet, but he's doing judo because he's got a pretty good judo chop. He's got a few shurikens. You know, those throwing stars that he's nice. Practicing with. He's getting pretty proficient with that. He can hit the bullseye at least 3 times out of 10 right now. We're trying to get him up there to 10 out of 10.
Wow, that's fantastic. 3 out of 10, that's 30%, mate. That's nearly better than you did on your last report card in high school, if memory serves correctly.
You're absolutely right it is. I didn't even get my last one. But we won't talk about that on the show today. Maybe in a future episode.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with skipping a few classes when you're out hanging with your blokes having a few cuppas, you know? There's nothing wrong with that. I didn't do so great. I'm not bragging.
Yeah, school starts early, you know, and I'm a late-time sleeper, but we won't talk about that.
Well, I like to sleep late too, mate. Anyways, if you wanted to get to a commercial, I did finally find my commercials ready to go, if you're ready for one.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Let's push play on them commercials to see what we're talking about today.
But you are going to have to send me some pictures of the Roo when he's in his costume. Just promise to do that if he comes back with the Roo-mobile.
Oh yeah, certainly. If he comes back alive and with the Rocket Roo-mobile unbusted, we'll get him dressed up and we'll take some crime-fighting poses for you so we can share with the audience. And, you know, his mom, she probably needs to know that he's out there fighting crime.
Well, yes. I mean, I don't think we've ever mentioned Marvin's mother before. What's Marvin's mother's name?
Martha?
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was that other Roo you mentioned in the first episode, Marjorie.
No, that's not his. No, not Marjorie.
No.
Marjorie, well, that's a different breeding stock. They're not related.
Right.
I mean, they're related in the fact that they are kangaroos, but they're not like brother and sister, mother, father, you know.
They're both red kangaroos, though, right?
Yeah.
Or is one of them a gray kangaroo?
Well, I've got a mixture on the farm out here. Marvin is my number one gray.
Yeah, you were telling me about the farm. How many roos do you have on the farm?
I've got a mixture of kangaroo breeds out here. I've got some grays and some reds. Marvin, in fact, is a gray kangaroo. Marjorie, she is a red. So they're not related in that they're family, other than that they're the family of kangaroos, which I don't really know what the genus and species sisters are. So you'll have to, you know, get Podbot to tell us or something like that.
All right, we could have Podbot insert a little bit here about the kangaroos and different species and what they look like and how they're different.
Kangaroos are from the family Macropodidae, meaning large foot. Kangaroos are marsupials found in Australia. New Guinea, and nearby islands. The term kangaroo can refer to any member of the family, which includes about 65 species, such as wallabies and tree kangaroos, but usually is reserved for the largest four species. These range in size with the red kangaroo, Ossifrontia rufus, males weighing up to 200 pounds and standing over 6 feet tall with tails as long as 1.2 meters. To the eastern grey kangaroo, Macropus gigantus, to the western grey kangaroo, Macropus fuliginosus, and the antilopine kangaroo, Ossifrontia antilopinus, with adult males growing up to 47.2 inches in length and weighing as much as 108 pounds. Kangaroos are sexually dimorphic species, meaning that males and females have distinct differences in size, appearance, and behavior. Females are less muscular, can be half the weight, are only three quarters the size, and have paler or duller coloration than males. Male kangaroos are called bucks, boomers, jacks, or old men. Females are does, flyers, or jills, and the young ones are joeys. The collective noun for a group of kangaroos is a mob, court, or troop. Red kangaroos are found in the arid and semi-arid grasslands and scrubland regions of central and western Australia. Eastern grey kangaroos are endemic to the woodlands and grasslands of Australia, with a range that extends from northern Queensland down to Victoria, as well as areas of southeastern Australia and Tasmania. Western grey kangaroos are found in the southern part of Western Australia, South Australia near the coast, in New South Wales. The antilopine kangaroos are found from Queensland in northern Australia to the Kimberley region of Western Australia. Kangaroos eat shrubs, grasses, herbaceous flowering plants, and the tips of woody shrubs and trees, with a preference for grasses. The main differences between kangaroo species lie in their appearance, size, habitat, and diet, as well as sexually dimorphic colorations, behaviors, and sizes.
Kangaroo's a roommate.
I mean, all I know is that the red ones are red and the gray ones are gray. It's sort of like the difference between us. You're a redhead, no, I'm not. It's easy to tell us apart because people call you Russ, right? Because you're rusty on top.
That's right, because I'm rusty on top.
That's really sick, mate. I'm so glad to hear that you got so many new kangaroos out there. How many do you have now?
37.
Whoa, mate.
I've got 37 on the farm right now.
From 5 to 37 in just a few weeks, mate. You've really upped your capacity.
Yeah, they're prolific breeders over here, those roos.
Oh, I didn't realize they were really getting down so much. Is it because you've been playing that funky roo funk music over there?
Yeah, that's actually right. There's a rock and roo, a roo and roll station that plays out in the shack on the radio over the airwaves. And Outback that only the Roo radio can pick up.
Is that something that you're picking up on the bush telling?
Yeah. There's a television in the bush. That tree over there has a television?
No, mate. You know as well as I do that a bush telly is the name we call a campfire. I was just messing with you, mate.
Right. Okay, you're messing with me. I see. I see.
I always like to test and see if you're learning all the new slang that I've been trying to teach you throughout all the different episodes. It's just the bonds of time to try to introduce these itch words to you, mate, to see if you're frothing, just to see if you're paying attention. But, you know, it's all right. I get it. Sometimes you're knackered and you're not feeling up to learning about these different things.
Most of the time I'm knackered. I don't know what to tell you about all that. I mean, that sounds like I might have a problem if I admit that live on the air, but I don't really have a problem. There's not a whole lot to do on the roo farm, but tinker with the roo mobile and, you know, feed them and get them practicing their long jump and the nunchucks. And sure,
well, I'm just glad to hear that you got more roos to take care of your time so you're not drinking with the flies so much.
Oh, right. Those flies are lightweights, mate. I've got three down right here. Look at him. That dude can't even walk right.
So whatever happened with the Sheila you had wrapped up in the fly paper, did the security come and take her out? Were they able to get her out before she spit the dummy?
Yeah, they got her out of there free. And apparently she's got little red lesions on her face. Is that the right word?
Oh, no, mate. I mean, she put up quite a fuss.
I guess she was allergic to the fly tape. And so she's been in hospital wrapped up like a mummy right now. She'll get better. They put some ointment on there. They said it'd be 2-3 days. A week max and she'll be back. Or she probably won't come back over here because she told me to go fuck a duck.
Yeah, surely. I mean, she didn't seem too happy the last time. I mean, just in the recording, doing some of the editing, I had to really turn down the volume on all the noise she was making in the back. I mean, I don't blame her for yabbering so much. It was really a bad situation. I can't imagine.
Yeah, she was mad as a cut snake, mate. I'll tell you that. It's a true story.
Yeah.
She did make a lot of ruckus.
But she made it out okay.
Yeah, she's fine. I mean, eventually.
We did have some listeners write in asking to make sure she was all right because they were worried about her state with all the noises she was making in the background there. But she made it out all right.
Yeah, they brought the rescue in here and they cut her down with these big giant scissors. You should have heard her scream when they were pulling the fly tape off of her. But other than that, you know, nothing hurt but her pride.
And, oh, yeah, you know, mate.
Maybe her face.
Ridgy Didge, mate.
What?
Oh, I just said Ridgy Didge, mate. She'll be right.
Yeah.
Glad to hear.
She'll be right.
That's great, mate. I'm glad to hear she made it out all right. She's going to be okay. And I'm glad to hear that the new farm is going well. How'd you keep all the roos in? Did you have to put up a big fence around your place?
Well, you know, the paddock I had for catching Sheilas, I'm just using that for right now. We're making it a little bigger to accommodate more roos and then maybe put a little access to catch Sheilas later. I don't know. I think I'm done with Sheilas for a while. I'm not having that great luck with them. Obviously, you can tell from the last few.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought the paddock was an interesting approach. And then at least that way they had a choice, but with the flypaper, I mean, I know that was more of an accidental sort of situation, right? I mean, it wasn't really...
Yeah, most certainly. I wasn't using that to trap a Sheila.
She just happened to come in and there wasn't anywhere for her to get away from it, huh?
You know, she got called over there because she was a clumsy twat.
What?
Hmm?
Nah, shut your gob, calling her a twat. That's not the right...
Hey, look. You got to be a twat if you got caught up in flypaper, mate.
Yeah, but usually we talk about our mates that way, calling them twits. No one usually refer to the lady folks, the Sheilas, like that. I mean, that sounds like a thing they might do in the Arvo in America or something.
Sometimes a twat's a twat. You know, it's like you just got to call it like it is sometimes. So you can't really be croaker about it.
Well, I just want to say to the audience out there that I don't approve of that sort of talk, and I'm not going to refer to a Sheila that way, but if that's how you feel, mate, I'm not going to hold it against you either.
I'm not saying all Sheilas are twats. I'm just saying that one was definitely. I mean, how twatty you got to be to get caught up in flypaper?
Let's go to our first commercial.
Admittedly, it was industrial strength, and it was hard to get out of, but, you know, I showed her how to walk through it. I said, hey, pull it like this and don't stick on it because your stick is sticky. And she didn't listen. That's her fault. Not mine, I mean.
I suppose you're right, mate. Should we go to a commercial then?
I hope so because we haven't done one yet.
Now we will take a break for some advertisements. Please support our sponsors.
Friends, as you know on Dragnet, we've always tried to emphasize the importance of facts. And when we talk to you about Chesterfield, we give you the facts. You heard the report George Fenneman read earlier. Nose, throat, and accessory organs not adversely affected by smoking Chesterfields. That's the first such report ever published about any cigarette. Remember that report and make Chesterfield your cigarette. Get them, regular or king size. Chesterfield, the best possible smoke. Much milder.
And now, back to the show.
That's a short one.
Well, it's hard to believe that they were allowed to say such things back in the day.
I didn't know you smoked Chesterfields, Austin.
Isn't it hard to believe that they could cast such lies back in the day there, mate?
Yeah, it's not much different than nowadays about everything else, though, so it doesn't really matter.
I suppose you're right.
You know, had a lie with statistics, you can get away with that stuff. if you sound smart.
Well, yeah, I hear that they hired their own scientists and everything back in the day, Big Tobacco.
Big Tobacco? Was it really big back then, or has it just gotten big over time? Sounds like it was fledgling if they didn't know much about
it. Oh, no, mate. It was huge back then. I mean, Dragnet was like the most popular TV show, I think, in the world or something like that. I'm not even sure how popular Dragnet was, but I think it was extremely popular. And I
think it was a radio program, you know.
Yeah, that was one of the commercials from the radio days there.
Yeah.
That's what I like to play mostly is the old radio commercials.
They are fabulous commercials.
Dragnet started in June 3rd of 1949, and it ran until the 26th of July in 1957.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it starred Jack Webb, Barton Yarbrough, Barney Phillips, Harry Bartell, Herb Ellis, Vic Perrin, Ben Alexander, Charles McGraw, Raymond Bear, Harry Morgan, Tall Avery.
Harry Morgan? I didn't know he was on the Dragnet show.
Yeah, he was on the Dragnet show.
I don't really know who he is, but that's all right. I just picked a name around with it. You know, that's what you got to do with it. Because all this stuff is older than us, Austin.
That's right. Don't forget.
Sometimes I forget. I get a little blottoed.
You haven't had too many bottles, have you there, mate?
A couple too many, mate, maybe. A
few tinnies on your table over there.
I'm going to have to go drain the main vein, if you know what I'm talking about here in a moment. I mean, I've had a few too many.
All right, well, I'll tell the folks a bit about Dragnet while you're draining the main vein. Go ahead and do that.
I won't forget about Dragnet. Oh, you're going to tell the audience about Dragnet while I go take a whizzer, eh?
Yeah, mate. That's what I just said. Take a whizzer, and when you come back, we'll...
That's mighty polite, yeah, Austin. Mate. I'll be right back.
All right.
I'm off to see the wizard.
Dragnet was an American radio series enacting the cases of a dedicated Los Angeles police detective named Sergeant Joe Friday and his partners. The show took its name from the police term Dragnet, meaning a system of coordinated measures for apprehending criminals or suspects. Dragnet's perhaps the most famous and influential police procedural drama in media history. The series gave the audience members a feel for the boredom and drudgery, as well as the danger, the heroism of police work. That's a bit about Dragnet. The truth is, I'm not sure how correct they are when they say that the series gave the audience members a feel for the boredom and drudgery. I've never felt that way. I've just felt good about the danger and the heroism of police work. That's really my take on it. And then there was that Dragnet movie back in the, I believe it was the 90s or the 80s. I'm not quite sure, but it had that Canadian bloke on it, that guy from the Ghostbusters, and that Tom Hanks fella, he was on there too, and that was pretty great. Man, it's taking Russ a long time to take a piss. I'm really having to vamp for a long time here. I wasn't quite sure that I was going to have to vamp quite this long. But the truth is, Dragnet was originally on NBC, and it was police procedural. That's what it was, and yeah... was on the radio, and there were police investigators. They had quite several different cigarette commercials on Dragnet. They had Fatima cigarettes, and they had Chesterfield cigarettes, like we just heard the commercial for.
Chesterfield cigarettes are a mighty fine quality cigarette, hand-rolled in Havana.
Are they really hand-rolled in Havana? Is that correct?
No, absolutely not. I don't even know where... Obviously, they've got to be... hand-rolled in Chesterfield, wherever Chesterfield is. Where's that located?
Chesterfield, Derbyshire. It was a market town in the borough of Derbyshire in England, 24 miles north of Derby and 11 miles south of Sheffield, a confluence of the River Rother and the River Hipper. That's where Chesterfield is.
You're so knowledgeable about locations and geography and all sorts of stuff. You're a run-of-the-mill, everyday ologist. You just know lots of stuff, Austin. I'm proud to call you friend. I am.
All right, thank you very much. I'm proud to call you friend. I believe Chesterfield is a brand of cigarette named after Chesterfield County, Virginia. It's actually the county in the United States, which I believe was named after the Chesterfield in England. The brand was owned by the conglomerate Altria and produced by its subsidiary Philip Morris USA. So, yeah, I believe it's in the Philip Morris family, which I think they've done all sorts of tobacco.
Yeah, they're big-time tobacco producers worldwide, I believe. They ship their products everywhere. Tobacco's a funny little weed, and it grows everywhere, naturally, obviously. It's a herb. It's a plant. It could be an herb. I don't know much.
Are you not a botanist, sir?
I'm not a plantologist. Austin, what can you tell us about the plant tobacco?
The plant tobacco? Well, I was looking up a bit more about Philip Morris here so I could tell you what other brands.
All right.
They do the brands like Marlboro, the Chesterfields, the Virginia Slims, the Merit, the Parliament, the Alpine, the Basic, the Cambridge, the Books, the Daves.
Dave's?
Yeah, I don't know much about Dave's cigarettes.
There's Dave's cigarettes?
They sound kind of generic to me.
I mean, they've got a personal name on it. Unless you call it all the Dave's generic. Is he saying Dave is a generic person name or a generic cigarette name?
I'm just saying it sounds rather generic. I mean, what kind of cigarettes do you want? I'll take some Dave's. It sounds a bit generic. It's not as glamorous, maybe, as Chesterfield.
Yeah, it does have a bit of blandness to it, doesn't it, compared to Chesterfield's?
Maybe Chesterfield just sounds glamorous, though, because it's got three syllables.
What about Larry? Is there a brand of cigarettes called Larry's?
No, and I don't even believe there's one called Lawrence's cigarettes either.
Well, I'll be damned. I need to write someone.
But there could be, you know, there's all kinds of cigarettes. Interesting thing about Philip Morris is that they were sponsors of all sorts of radio and television shows. They sponsored shows like I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
With Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
Yeah. Both cigarette smokers. Did you know that about them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think everybody back in those days.
I'll tell you what, something you might not know about Lucille Ball is that she was the producer of the first episode of Star Trek.
No kidding.
She got on board with that. She was like, that's a mighty fine idea. Off to space we go, gentlemen.
That doesn't surprise me too much. I think she was a rather smart Sheila.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. Brilliant, brilliant woman.
I think it takes someone rather intelligent to be such a good comedic actor.
This is true. This is true. I mean, her timing was impeccable, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think that it's interesting, you know, Philip Morris was the largest seller of tobacco in the U.S. and the second largest seller of tobacco in the world, mate.
Who was ahead of him in the world?
I'm not sure, mate. That's a good question.
Prince Albert. Sorry, Prince Albert.
Prince Albert, you think?
Yeah, you could always get Prince Albert's in a can, you remember?
Well, that's true.
A lot of crank calls on the stores.
I thought they did pipe tobacco mainly.
It's loose tobacco, cigarette tobacco, pipe tobacco. I don't know, it's probably a little bit of both. These days, you never really know.
I guess they did have cigarettes as well.
Well, I don't know. Let me see.
I just thought it was pipe tobacco because it's in a can. You needed a more robust tin back in the days when Prince Albert was really selling.
Yeah, oh, this Chesterfield's not too bad.
Oh, you're trying one out there, mate?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh.
Smooth.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, don't smoke too many of them. They have all kinds of health consequences, you know, mate.
Well, no, not according to the advertisement we just listened to. These are perfectly safe cigarettes. These don't cause no problems.
That commercial was made before the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control came up with evidence-based treaties.
Who?
WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control.
Who?
The WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control.
Who? The WHO Convention? Is it like Doctor Who?
No, mate. It's the World Health Organization, mate.
Who?
Now I feel like you're trying to pull me into some who's on first base kind of skit here or something here, mate.
Oh, that doesn't sound near as exciting as Doctor Who, does it?
You got wrapped up thinking about the old radio shows and you thought to yourself we should do a bit of who's on first base. Is that what you were just doing there, mate?
I was going for that, actually. Yeah, is this a classic, mate? There's nothing funnier than that bit. Nothing. I don't care who you are.
That is the classic.
You don't like that bit, you just unfriend me, mate. Don't even come near me.
Oh, no. I think that's a great bit, mate. I might even get Podbot to see if he can pull up a bit of that bit and put a bit of that bit right here in this bit of our podcast here, mate. Just a bit of the bit, though. Not the whole bit. Just a bit of the bit right here in this bit. You see what I mean? Am I making a bit of sense here, mate?
Yeah, that'd be a good placement for that bit, right in the middle of this bit. I think that's a good idea. Hey, Podbot, what can you do about that?
Not as funny as my name, Sebastian Dinwiddie.
Oh, yes.
Funnier than that?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Tobacco is an agricultural commodity product similar in economic terms to agricultural foodstuffs. The price is in part determined by the crop yields, which vary depending on local weather conditions. And the price also varies by species or the cultivar grown, the total quality on the market ready for sale, and the area where it's grown, and the health of the plants. And since 1964, Russ.
That's a long time.
You know how long ago that was? Yeah. Can you count that many years, mate?
I mean, that's more than the fingers and toes I got, sir.
It's true. That's nearly 60 years, mate. There's been conclusive medical evidence of the deadly effects of tobacco consumption. There's been a sharp decline in official support for producers and manufacturers of tobacco, and it contributes to the agricultural, fiscal, manufacturing, exporting sectors of the economy, but there are laws restricting tobacco smoking.
That's a shame.
No, mate.
I think if a man wants to smoke a cigarette, a man should be able to smoke a cigarette.
Well, yeah.
If he doesn't want to smoke, he doesn't have to smoke. Nobody's making him.
That's true. I'm just saying, it's not good for you, mate. I'm sorry to see you smoking. I hope you're able to quit someday soon.
I don't care.
Oh, that's a short stop.
It's time for another commercial.
Now we will take a break for some advertisements. Please support our sponsors.
Avoid 5 o'clock shadow. Use Gem Blade. Use Gem Blade.
And now, back to the show.
We're back from the commercial already. Oh, wow. That sounded a bit like the Shadow knows about shaving blades, doesn't he? They use the gym blades. Is that what it was? Gym? G-E-M or J-I-M?
Yeah, G-E-M, you know, like a gym you'd put on your finger.
Mm-hmm.
That was a gym of a commercial, if I do say so myself.
It was a gym of a commercial. That was great. I was taken right back to the old radio days of the Shadow. You know, the Shadow now. Do you know anything about the Shadow?
I don't know too much about the Shadow. What can you tell me about the Shadow, mate?
No. In fact, after spending this day with you, the morgue will be a pleasant relief.
He was a guy that lived in the Shadow. Hence his name was Shadow.
Right.
The Shadow Man.
Okay.
I think that's right.
So he's just like a weirdo that hung out in the shadows? Is that the whole story, mate? He just liked...
I think he wore dark clothes and a hat. He made people do stuff that they didn't want to do because he had hippopotamus. He did not have hippopotamus powers, the other hypno word.
Power of hypnotism?
Hypnotism? Is that the right word?
Is that what you're saying?
That's right. And he could turn himself invisible.
Oh, really?
Well, not really invisible, but he could block that part of your mind that allowed your eyes to see him.
Oh, wow.
Because he was a mystic, a man of the shadow. That's how he knew things.
So did he carry around one of those little cards with one of those black and white spirals on it and then, like, twist it around?
No, he didn't need that.
Oh, no?
No.
Did he have one of those watches on a pendulum, maybe, that he swung in front of your eyes to make you hypnotized?
Yeah, I think that's what he did.
Oh, really? I see.
He said, hold on, criminal, while I hypnotize you with this watch. I don't think he did that.
Oh, no? No?
When he gets shot, when the criminal run away?
Well, I don't know, mate. This is your thing you're telling me about the Shadow.
I'm just saying that guy, that commercial, was reminiscent of the Shadow's character.
Well, he had the clock, you know. That's what gave me the idea. Maybe the pendulum in that commercial was like the pendulum that the Shadow used. You know, mate.
Well, I mean, I don't really know. I'm not a hypnotist myself. I'm not a shadow dweller like the Shadow Man. So it's hard to say what mystic powers he had precisely, unless you knew him personally, and I didn't.
I see.
That was a long time ago, and he's probably dead now.
Well, perhaps we could look him up too and find out a bit more about the Shadow.
Do it, sir. Let's do that.
Was he a vampire?
I don't think he was a vampire. I think he was just an ordinary Park Avenue sort.
Oh, he lived in New York on Park Avenue. Is that what you're saying?
He lived somewhere on a big important street in a big important penthouse. I don't know why all these billionaires are becoming superheroes lately.
I suppose it's because they got a lot of free time because they had to work so hard to make their money like the rest of us.
Yeah, it's probably right.
Apparently, it was a fictional character published in the United States of America by magazine publishers Strait and Smith and writer Walter B. Gibson. Originally created to be a mysterious radio show narrator and developed into a distinct literary character in 1931. Has been adapted to many forms of media, including comic books, comic strips, serials, video games, and at least 5 feature films.
There's a Shadow cereal? I wonder what that tastes like. Does it turn your milk black?
No, not that kind of cereal, mate. The kind that starts with an S.
Not
the,
oh.
Like, you know, different serials of the same show.
Oh, episodes.
Apparently there was a radio drama that was also voiced by Orson Welles. Did you know that was voiced by Orson Welles?
I did not know that. We're learning lots of stuff in this episode, aren't we, Austin?
Ah, we are. I'm learning a lot in this episode, too. Apparently, Gibson himself claimed that the literary inspirations did include Bram Stoker's Dracula and Edward Bulwer Lytton's The House of the Brain.
The House of the Brain?
Yeah, and apparently there's some other French character named Judo.
Was it like a house with a brain or a house made just for a brain?
A House of the Brain? I'm not sure what the House of the Brain is, but apparently there was some other...
Was it like a smart house?
Well, it sounds like a smart house. I mean, if it had a house made out of a brain, that'd be pretty interesting.
That'd be kind of squishy, don't you think?
Definitely. Wouldn't protect you from strong winds that we get out here in the outback.
No, one gust up and that brain house would flow right away, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
One of those dirt devils twist it right over.
Apparently so.
Kind of like my old trailer wagon. You remember that? That dust devil came through here, knocked my trailer over while I was on the shitter.
Oh, mate, I'm so glad that you finally got out of that trailer wagon. I mean, when you were living in that trailer wagon, I was a bit worried about you, mate. I wasn't sure you were going to be able to bounce back from that.
Well, it fell over while I was in the shitter. I did break a leg, and I was out of commission for several weeks. But I'm better now. That was a while back.
Yeah, the roof arm is definitely a swing towards the north.
Yeah, I'm on the uptick over here, Austin. Things are improving for me.
Are you all right, mate? You didn't catch your tongue in the flypaper, did you, mate? That could be...
No, I got rid of all that flypaper nonsense. I told you that.
Oh, you got rid of the flypaper? What about the flies, mate?
Yeah, I told you. When the rescue came and cut the sea louse, they took all that with as evidence or something. I don't know.
Oh, no, mate. They were collecting evidence against you. That doesn't sound good. You're not going to become the next case on the Dragnet, are you, mate?
No, I don't think so.
I have to take you back in time to make sure they make an episode about you.
Well, that'd be a good episode, don't you think?
It might be kind of fun to travel in time.
Do you think that would be a good episode? Man catches Sheila in flypaper.
I'm not sure they ever had a time-traveling episode involving flypaper on Dragnet. I think that could be an interesting twist to the standard time travel plot.
Oh, yeah, I like that. That's sounding good.
Flypaper twist.
We're probably onto something here with that one, Austin.
Maybe we should start a spec script right now, mate. You think we should just get out our pens and our papers and just chunk this recording in the binner?
Yeah, start a new career. One that propels me. Roof arm, sky high, and whatever you got going on. You got anything going on over there that would propel it sky high with a script?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I could, you know, tell the side of a man who likes to play the blues and works as a private detective. On the backside? You know, I reckon maybe we could start a whole other podcast about noir, something like that on the Lion Goat podcast. You don't think they have another podcast like that, do you?
I don't know. They've got so many podcasts over there, it's hard to keep up. I mean, it seems like they got a new one every other Thursday.
I heard that they do, but I don't know. We've been contributing quite a lot. Maybe they're looking for some new ideas, you know?
What's wrong with our show? They don't like it over there anymore? I haven't heard.
I don't think there's anything. I was just saying we could do an extra show, you know, have another show.
Oh, we could do an extra show, right?
Right. We could do...
The blues playing private detective from Australia? That could do something.
Well, I don't know that he's got to be from Australia. We could pretend he's from somewhere else, like maybe Boston or something like that.
Yeah, but you would sound out of place as the main character.
Yeah, I have a hard time with accents. As we've seen in the past, when I've tried to do my American accent, it doesn't sound very good. It doesn't sound...
Yeah, I think you would butcher the shape right out of a Boston accent. Your American accent is garbage.
You probably got a point there, mate. Let me see if I can try it. Say something that somebody from Boston would say. What would somebody from Boston say?
Red Sox. They like the Red Sox and baked beans over there.
Baked beans. All right, let me see if I can say baked beans like I'm from Boston. Let's see. Who's a guy from Boston?
Chad.
Chad?
Chad.
You got a mate named...
Chad from Boston? There's got to be a Chad in Boston, right?
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, there's probably someone in Boston. Let's see if we can find some Boston accents. I thought our accent bit in the last episode was pretty good.
I think it was pretty good. I mean, we do all right with the accents, you know.
I have to listen to one first. I can never just pull one out. I've always got to listen to an accent before I can try it.
Thank you, Mr. President. I certainly agree with both of my colleagues. And it's not just Cummings Park, it's Carr Park, it's Playstead Park, it's throughout the community.
The pack.
That guy sort of sounds like he's from Australia. He says pack and car pack, just like we say down here.
Yeah.
It's a bit more drawn out. It's like he doesn't have any airs. We've got ours, but it sounds like he's missing the airs in his the car pack. Car. Does that sound like Boston? Am I doing it right?
Not really. No, I don't think you're doing it right at all, sir.
I'd like to send an official resolve to the DPW to do not only the cleanup at all these parks, but do a preventative maintenance plan.
Preventative maintenance plan. Preventative maintenance plan. Car park.
That's perfect. That's perfect right there.
Is that right? Am I getting it there? Preventative maintenance plan.
Yeah, you're getting it. That's perfect. I could have swore you was a Bostonian and not an Australian.
Nah, mate. You're pulling my leg now. I don't think you're being honest. I think you're lying to me, and that's all right. I don't mind, mate. I appreciate you just being nice to me now. You're just trying to suss out the situation. That's all right.
Yeah, definitely don't give up your day job or anything like that to take this accent show of yours on the road, but I think you'll get there in the end if you get practice.
Oh, mate, I just got to do a bit more work there.
Practice makes perfect is what they tell
it's
me.
It's not
mate.
As mad as a gum tree full of gollies.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad accent for your first time ever trying to do a Boston accent. It's pretty good. It's remarkable.
Have you got a Boston accent? Let me hear your Boston accent.
No, I don't. I don't have a Boston accent, really.
No.
It's hard.
They're starting with the nice weather.
Can you say the weather? The way that guy said weather.
The weather? The nice weather? Weather? Weather, there's weather and space.
What?
What?
Weather or not, there's weather and space? Is that what you're talking about?
No, we've got to find out whether or not there's weather in space.
Oh, mate, you know, we forgot to talk about gym blades, mate. We didn't even talk about the blades. Have you ever tried to shave with a gym blade?
No, I've used a King Gillette blade. But I've never used a gym blade.
Oh, mate.
Have you used a gym blade?
No. Yeah, mate. Gyms are the best, man. Like I said, they're the gyms of the razor industry.
What kind of gyms are they made out of? Diamond? Ruby, perhaps?
No, mate. They're sharp as if they've got a diamond edge on them. I'll tell you what. One shave with a gym blade, and it takes your stubble twice as long to grow back.
Really?
That's what they were saying. You never have to fear the 5 o'clock shadow if you use the gym blade.
Well, that's good. I've always been afraid of the 5 o'clock shadow myself.
Well, you've got that nice long red beard. I imagine you don't have to shave very much at all, do you?
Not lately.
Oh, mate, we're out of time just about.
Is the show over already?
I don't know. We could do one more commercial if you like.
Let's sneak one in past the bot.
I dare you to try.
All right, let me get the Podbot to shut up here.
As if you could.
Shut up, Podbot. You're always talking.
Uh-huh.
Stop talking. All right. So you say you want to do one more?
Yes. You know, we can run over a few minutes. I don't think anybody will mind.
I don't think they'll mind. Let me bring back an old favorite here and see how you like this one.
You'll like the delicious, meaty flavor of Spam, the way it satisfies husky appetites.
That was just a quick one there, Matt.
That was a quick one, yeah. I like a good Spam sandwich over here. You know, green eggs and Spam. Ham and Spam and jam.
Ham and Spam with jam.
I don't give a damn. I eat Spam all the time. That's all I'm talking about over here.
Never had the Spam with jam. Is the Spam with jam good?
It's the only way to eat it, mate.
Sweet and salty at the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
Sort of like having ice cream with tortilla chips or something like that. Is that what it's like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never had ice cream with tortilla chips. What kind of life do you live off?
Oh, mate, the same kind of life you're living. I'm living in the life of luxury. You eating your Spam with jam, and I'm eating my ice cream with my tortillas. You should try out the ice cream with a tortilla. It's a good flavor, man. You get the sweet and the salty. I bet it's a lot like the Spam with the jam. What type of jam do you like with your Spam?
I like to use the apple jam. Because, you know, pork and apples.
Ah, right. That does sound... Is that what Spam's made out of? It's made out of pork.
It's made out of something. I'm not even sure it's actual meat.
Oh.
Be honest, it's probably some synthetic meats.
Synthetic meats? What sort of meats are those?
Yeah, the kind of meat they grow in a laboratory.
Oh, mate, I was just pulling your leg. Spam, of course, is made of pork.
Oh, it is?
It's salty processed canned pork made by the Hormel Foods Corporation. Introduced in 1937,
wow.
It gained popularity worldwide after its use during World War II. You know, many of the fabulous meat innovations, the canned meat innovations that have come to the world, were all brought around World War II because they had to figure out some way to get that protein to the soldiers out on the battlefield. So they thought, well, we'll just chuck a bit of pork into a can and then pack it full of thousands and thousands of different preservative chemicals, and that'd be great for the soldiers. And it worked out well. They ended up winning the war here.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Spam. A war-winning Spam right there.
Did you know that Spam, it's been sold in 41 different countries and trademarked on over 6 different continents?
No, I didn't know that. In one trademark sufficient, and they got to have multiple trademarks for every country they go to? But on trademarks, man?
Yeah, trademarks are like that. You got to have different trademarks in different countries, especially when those countries are on different sides of different oceans. Different economies use different trademarks to keep track of who gets credit and who's allowed to use different logos and all that sort of thing. It's very complex. Trademark law.
Uh-huh. How many trademarks do we got here on the show, Austin?
Well, we've got the trademark for, we've got that lion goat logo, you know, with kangaroo legs. That's one of our trademarks. And I believe you were working on a trademark t-shirt for the listeners, for the Patreon subscribers. How's that going?
Yeah, I'm working on it. It's going real slow. See, I've started it just about 3 times because the first one I didn't really like.
Okay.
And I thought, well, I can do this better, right?
Right.
And the second time, well, it wasn't much better.
Well, I heard that the third time's the charm.
The third time isn't going for shit, too, but we'll work it out 5 or 6 times from now. We'll get it right. And then you'll be able to buy a shirt or a coffee cup that's got our logo on it.
Right.
And support me in Austin because the farm is quite expensive to maintain, because kangaroos, they eat a lot, surprisingly.
Do you feed the kangaroos much Spam, mate?
They have eaten a few cans of Spam with jam.
Oh, I didn't even realize that kangaroos were carnivores.
Are they?
Why do I even bother?
Well, they certainly like Spam. Right?
Really?
It's not like I'm feeding them other kangaroos or something. That would be unethical.
No, you wouldn't want to make cannibal kangaroos. That could be a problem.
No, you don't want to have mad kangaroos around.
Mad cannibal kangaroos? It sounds like a pretty good horror film. Maybe that'd be a good episode of our new podcast, The Noir Mad Kangaroo Cannibals or something like that.
I think that name could use a little work, Austin. We'd have to take that one back to research and development, I think.
I'm not necessarily saying that would be the name. I'm saying it's more like a plot line, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'd be a better plot than a name, for sure.
Wild Western Grey Cannibal Kangaroo.
Let's put a pin in that, Austin. We'll come back to it, though. I mean, I like this idea. And we can have Marvin show up in a rocket roomobile with his nunchucks.
Yeah, we wouldn't even have to look for actors. You've got 37 right there in the farm. We could just train them up like you've trained them up for the Kangaroo Olympics or whatever we're calling those events, the annual kangaroo contests. We could just train them to be actors. You don't think that's very hard, do you?
No, certainly not. Arnold Schwarzenegger can do it. I think a kangaroo can.
Now we will take a break for some advertisements. Please support our sponsors. Just imagine this could be your advertisement. Please reach us at liongoatpodcast@gmail.com to provide sponsorship. And now, back to the show.
Yeah, I thought I was right. Normally kangaroos, they mainly eat on grasses and forbs. Sometimes they eat leafy shrubs and low trees, but they're mostly vegetarian, so you might be careful. Maybe spam's not the best food for them, mate.
Well, like I said, they got into the cans of spam. I don't know how they got the cans open. Probably jumping up and down on them.
Well, yeah, they've gotten so strong doing all that training with the weights on their back legs. I'm sure they could just...
Or maybe nunchuck practice?
Marvin's got his nunchucks, and he just whipped it right around and smacked the can lid right off there.
Yeah. It's probably what happened, actually. You know, Marvin, he's very curious kangaroo, and he likes to get into things he shouldn't be getting into. Stealing my cars. It happens.
What's that? Oh, your cars. He steals your cars. I thought you said Stephen McCaw. I thought you were talking about some new macaw, parrot that you got that was named Stephen or something like that. I was confused.
No, I don't have any parrots over here.
Okay, well.
You think we should get a parrot? You think we should have a parrot on the show?
I mean, it's always nice to have a friend to talk to. I used to have a macaw myself.
I've got all these roos and these dingoes, mate. I'm covered up in things to talk to.
Yeah, you've probably got enough on your hands there, mate. You probably don't need any more pets.
Now, how much does a macaw eat?
They eat quite a bit.
Does they eat a lot?
Yeah, they like crackers. You know, that old statement of Polly want a cracker? That kind of fits. But there's special kind of bird crackers that are... mostly made of seeds instead of flour, not the normal kind of crackers. Oh, what's that?
I think Marvin's back.
Is that Marvin back with the jet roomobile? Oh, I'm hearing some sounds.
Look
there.
At him do that wheelies. I didn't know he could do the wheelies in a four car.
Whoa, he's doing a wheelie, mate.
Oh, he's doing a figure eight, a donut.
Oh, wow.
Look at him go, mate. He's such a good driver, mate. He's an excellent crime fighter, I promise you. Where's he going now? Oh, he's down out of sight again. Oh, well. He'll be back this week, I'm sure.
He just do a blow-by there, mate.
Yeah, he likes that rocket roomobile now. We've modified it. It's super fast. He likes it. You saw him out there doing the donuts.
Well, just caught him through the webcam there, through the window over your shoulder. I just saw a little flash whiz by there. That's all I could really see.
It happened quick, didn't it? Yeah.
I mean, it was quite impressive. I can't wait for you to bring it over for us to take a ride down to the beach, mate.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. If Marvin ever gets back with it.
Surely he'll come back.
Or if it's still gas, I don't know. I don't know how much fuel he's used up.
Was he not just pulling up there, mate? I thought maybe he was back.
No, I think he drove away again,
oh,
mate.
Oh, no. He just whizzed right by, did a few donuts in a wheelie. He was just showing off for you then, mate.
I think he was.
All right.
I think he was, mate. So he's showing off for you. He might even breeze by there and pick you up later. I don't know.
That'd be great. Well, send him on by. He'd be more than welcome. You know, Marvin's, he's my favorite marsupial, I've got to say. He's a dear friend of mine.
Yeah, he's a good marsupial. He's a quality fellow.
There's not much like the type of bond that you form when you've ridden more than an hour or so in the pouch of a roo. You just become close in a way that you've never felt with another type of animal.
Yeah, I can see that. That is pretty close because you are inside that kangaroo, so you don't get much closer than that.
Yeah, that Marvin, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, she's a beaut. I'm telling you, a gorgeous little beaut, grey. crime-fighting kangaroo. I'm proud of her.
You know? Well, I suppose we've filled up enough space here. Maybe we'll say goodbye this week. Thanks again to all the listeners for coming and checking out the Aussie Boys podcast. We're always glad to have you around. And Russ, I wanted to say I appreciate that you were so kind to remember to ask me how I was this week. We forgot the clicker. I just realized at the beginning of the episode, so I'm hoping that this lines up.
Well, I mean, we were excited about the Rocket Roomobile, so we forgot the clacker. It's all right. We can put it in now, if you'd like. Here's the clacker.
Oh, yeah. Wow. There we go. Was, it's always so startling, but it's a great sound. And, you know, I'll just have to line it up here at the end.
Yeah, you can do that pretty easy, right?
Well, you know, I don't know. We'll see how it works. I've had a few technical difficulties over here on my end. I made a few mistakes. We'll see how it all comes together.
Good deal. Not everybody's perfect. Mistakes can be made. They happen every now and then. But don't take it so hard. It's a learning experience. And so you get a little knowledge and a little wisdom out of those mistakes. It's fine.
Right, right. Did you want to say goodbye to the listeners there, mate?
Oh, yeah. Goodbye, listeners. Glad you were here. Thanks for joining us, Austin and me, Russ, the best host ever. Austin, that is, not me. He's the greatest.
Well, you know, I appreciate you saying that, mate. You're still the best looking host there is. You're the pretty face of the Aussie boys and the silky voice.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, I wouldn't be this beautiful without you, mate. I promise. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here too, mate.
I'm glad the listeners stop by. Anytime you stop on by the kangaroo farm here and have a Foster's with me. And, you know, maybe Austin will tune in. And you can talk to both of us that way. If not, you're just here drinking Foster's with me. And Marvin, we might even fire up the Roomobile and go fight crime with Marvin.
Right, mate.
So see you next time.
See you next time. Oh, wait. What was our... So we redid our special sign-off last time. Do you remember what it was?
No, I was blotted.
Oh, mate. I thought you wrote it down last time because I wrote it down the first time and then I forgot. And now I thought you were writing it down and you've forgotten?
You know I can't write.
Oh, right.
I mean, I didn't want to... I mean, I don't think we should talk about that now on the air about the failure of my schooling. But
I think it was something about not wetting your decks, not getting Foster's on your decks.
Yeah, probably.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
Don't spill your Foster's.
Oh, no. It was something about bringing a cut lunch or something like that.
I don't. Does it matter? We'll get one in the end and it'll be perfect.
Oh, should we make another one then, mate?
No, because... I'm too blotted to write it down.
We're out of here faster than Marvin on a jet roomobile?
It's a rocket roomobile. It's not really a jet.
Rocket roomobile. I like that. That's got a nice ring of alliteration to it, mate.
That's right.
Rocket roomobile. Yeah.
It's Austin and Russ, the Aussie boys. We're out of here faster than a roo on a rocket mobile.
All right. Good enough for me then, mate.
It's close enough. All right, bye, guys. Cue the music box.
Bye, everybody. Have a great time until we talk to you again. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for everything you do. And thanks to you, too.
Don't forget to wave them out now. Play the music.
Oh, yeah. We had some music somewhere.
Here's some exit music here.
All right. Maybe I should find the music there before we end the episode. It's off my game tonight there.
I see that, Austin. Oh, you've had one too many Fosters.
I think it's because we did the extra extension on the end there, mate.
Have you had too many Fosters over there, Austin?
I don't know how many's too many, mate. I like Fosters. I've had a couple of Fosters. Who's to say how many's too many?
Is those Chesterfield smoke blinding you and you can't find what you're looking for?
Are you? Are you the one that says how many's too many?
No, I'm not qualified in any way, form or fashion. There's no PhD behind my name.
Oh, right.
Or, you know, doctor in front of my name. I'm not a doctor of medicine.
No, mate, no. Are you a doctor of anything aside from medicine?
No, not really.
Okay. I'm finding the intro with the outro, but I'm not finding the music that we normally use. Surely I made a recording of the music, mate.
Well, surely you did.
I thought I.
Is the outro music different than the intro music, Austin?
No. Let's see. Is this it?
I don't think that's
it. No, that doesn't sound right. No, I think that's a different song.
Our music is happier music than that, because we're happy fellas.
Right, right. Well, I'm not sure I know how to find it right now.
Try that one right there. Is that it right there?
What, this one right here?
That's the same one you just played, isn't it?
No, mate, that's a totally different song, but that's not it either.
Oh, it sounded exactly the same to me.
That's so. Not it either. That sounds more like something that would play when Podbot came on.
Yeah, the Podbot likes jazz. I don't know what that's about. He likes the swing.
Yeah, no, you can't blame him. I mean, that's a great song there. Gets my nethers shaking.
Whoa. It's a little personal, don't you think?
Well, I mean, we're rather close. There's nothing wrong with you knowing about my nether shaking.
I don't want to see it, that's for certain. Put that away. Stop shaking that.
Okay, well, I'll put it away then.
Stop shaking your nethers and play the outro music, Austin.
I'm still looking for the outro music. You've got a vamp here.
You've got like 45 minutes of trying to end a boss here. We've got to get better.
Here, you come up with a new...
We got the start. Unlock now.
The Rocket Roo outro saying. Come with the Rocket Roo outro saying and I'll find the music.
Rocket Roo?
Yeah, something about the Rocket Roo and Marsupials 2, you know, faster than a Rocket Roo and a Marsupial 2 on a few.
We're out of here faster than a Marsupial on the Rocket Roo mobile.
Welcome to Russ's Zoo with the Rocket to something about that.
Rocket Roo Marsupials? Oh, wait, I think that's it right there.
And I think I found it now. There it is.
All right.
All right. Now we can do the outro.
We're out of here with the outro music and the Rocket Roomobile. Be
Thanks
careful.
Thanks for coming along, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Aussie Boys final episode.
Is it our last?
Till we have another one?
Yeah, okay.
That's not what I meant to say. It's not the final episode. Don't be afraid.
I got concerned. I thought we got canceled.
No. We've got plenty more in us, folks. Thanks for coming to the Aussie Boys. We're glad to have you as always, and we'll talk to you again soon on the next episode. You're supposed to say the Rocket Rubit right there, Russ. Can you say the Rocket Rubit?
We're out of here faster than a marsupial on a Rocket Roo mobile.
Here, let me start. Here you go. Now with the music behind you.
You're
supposed to say the Rocket Rubit over the music then. Mate.
I was dancing. I was enjoying our outro music, Austin.
You got too dancy. There's nothing wrong with having a good time. All right, here you go. Here you go. Say it quickly. Right now.
See you later from the Aussie Boys.
No, mate. The Rocket.
And don't forget to ride around on your Rocket Roomobile. Out there fight crime with the mask.
Oh, you were getting to it. One more time. Here we go. Here we go. We're ready now.
We're out of here faster than a Rocket Roomobile.
Wait, it's been different each time.
I don't remember there being words in our outro.
Say again?
What is that?
Oh, no, that's just the supplemental. Will that work for you, mate?
I guess.
Well, let me see if I can find...
No, it's all right. Just play that one. We'll do it. We'll wrap it up. I mean, we've been trying to end this episode now for 20 minutes.
I know. People are used to it by now, though.
I hope.
Maybe it's getting old. Maybe you're right. Sometime we've got to do a long bit in the middle, maybe. I'm not sure.
An intermission?
Intermission. That's something I've never thought of, mate. That's a great idea. We'll do an intermission. Well, the commercials are sort of like an intermission, but...
This is too late for an intermission now. This is the end of the episode. We need the outro.
Oh, right. No, I mean next time. Next time we'll have an intermission.
Okay. Next time on the Aussie Boys, Austin will have an intro, an outro, and an interlude in the middle.
Thanks for coming along, everyone. We're glad to have you here on the Aussie Boys podcast. It's been a great time. Thanks for all your support and your listening. Here's Russ to do his little outro bit about the Roo Rocket Mobile.
Come on and ride around with us in the Rocket Roo Mobile.
Oh, mate, you were going to say something about how we're out of here faster than a Roo Rocket Mobile or something like that, wasn't it?
I mean,
don't look at me like that, mate. I mean, I'm just trying to help your memory. See, it's like you've lost your memories. We were just talking about this about 10 seconds ago. You've forgotten a bit about what you were going to say there, mate.
Yeah, we're out of here faster than a marsupial on a Rocket Roomobile.
Yeah, but with the music.
The kangaroo with a rocket up its bum. We're out of here faster than a Rocket Roo.
I like that. Faster than a Rocket Roo.
Ooh, a Rocket Roo.
I don't know, mate. Just forget about it. We'll get it next time.
Yeah, I've been trying to, but you just dragging this one out, mate.
Right. That's it. Over and out. Goodbye.
Bye.
We would love to receive your feedback, your improvisation suggestions, your questions for advice, and your musical compositions for response. Please email us or send us a voicemail. Our address is liongoatpodcast@gmail.com. Find, like, review, subscribe, and contact us on Facebook, Instagram, Patreon, Twitter, and YouTube at Lion Goat Podcast. All one word, Lion Goat Podcast. Please subscribe to this podcast on your podcast player. We are available on Spotify, SoundCloud, and anchor.fm/Lion Goat Podcast. Please tell all your friends, enemies, and any strangers to listen to our podcast. This will help us bring joy to everyone. Text-to-speech services were provided by freetts.com and readloud.net. Advertisements and music were provided by the Internet Archive Collection of the Armed Forces Radio Service and other attribution-free old radio productions. Additional sound effects were provided by freesound.org. Information was provided by Wikipedia. Other original music for today's show was composed, performed, and recorded by the excellent musicians at Hairline Productions. Today's show was edited, produced, and recorded by the world's greatest sound designers and engineers at Hairline Productions. Please like their content on SoundCloud.